listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, it's written for you. Believe in His promises, God cannot fail. For what He has said, He will do. Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. And Adam was not deceived, which means Adam willfully disobeyed God. When you read that scripture, it should put the whole context of sin together. Because though many will focus on Eve taking that fruit, eating that fruit, serving it to her husband, the scripture makes it clear that Adam was the one that was fully responsible and accountable to God. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, verse 15, I want you to really look at this verse for just a moment. Notwithstanding, she, who? The woman shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Now, when we read that scripture and it says she shall be saved in childbearing, we already know that this cannot be talking about salvation being released to a lady because she's had a child. Because if that was the case, the plan of salvation wouldn't make sense at all. And also, that would mean for any lady who did not have a child, she could not be saved, right? Or if you looked at ladies in general and said, well, it's just speaking to females that through them and through childbearing that they're saved. I believe this scripture is best understood in context of God's plan to send His Son through a woman, through a virgin, and that it would be through Mary, through the virgin birth, through the birth of a child, that God would bring salvation to the entirety of the human race. I believe this is the greatest message for any Mother's Day. That God's plan was and still is at work, that through childbearing, God would send the Son of God through whom we would be saved. So that any who are saved this morning are saved through the Messiah that was given to us through God's seed, not a man's seed, but through God's seed that was placed in Mary. So that's the scripture I want to start with this morning, that God's plan of salvation totally hangs, would hang on the availability. God did not force Himself on Mary. Mary received the Word of God, and it doesn't even seem like a really sensible or understandable context when we look at how God speaks to her and how God reveals what He's going to do. But if you remember what Mary said, she simply said, "May it be unto me as you have spoken." I thought over the last several hours about those words, "May it be unto me as thou hast spoken." So God says that through childbearing, that salvation would come, and to the servant that God has chosen, she immediately responds in faith, "Whatever your plan is, God, I'm in for all of it." Now let me tell you, my mother was a lady like that. My wife is a lady like that. I believe many of you ladies are women of faith just like that. And you receive the Word of God, you stand on the Word of God, you believe it, and it is working in your life. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, we read of that account where the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord had made. One day he asked the woman, the serpent asked her, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?" "Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it." Now, we don't have record of the touching part. "If you do, you will die." Don't add to the Word of God, right? We don't want to do that. "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." And the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were open, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. Verse 8, when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden, so they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walk into the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." And God said, "Who told you you were naked?" The Lord asked, "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" The man replied, "It was the woman." This tough guy, right? I just want to say, ladies, that the first guy wasn't all that honest, and he wasn't all that transparent, and he wasn't all that responsible, and he was not truthful, all that truthful, and he was a perfect man. So give us a little grace, ladies. This is the first man. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. The man replied, "It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it." At least he said, "I ate it." He doesn't say she forced me, right? The man replied, "It was the woman." Then the Lord God asked the woman, "What have you done?" And the serpent, she says, "The serpent deceived me. That's why I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live. And I will cause," I want you to look at verse 15 and 16 and think about these verses, "and I will cause hostility," word of confrontation, warfare. "I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head." I like the translation, he will crush your head. It's not a picture of playing footsies with the devil, which some people do. It's a picture of not accepting anything the devil has to say. If you crush the head, there is nothing left really to live. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. Then he said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth. And you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. This is that confrontation, that warfare that the enemy will stir up, and then will be in the family, be between husbands and wives. This is the result of sin, that it would be this way. And thank God for the Holy Spirit that crushes the head of the serpent so there can be agreement and one flesh and one spirit agreement in the family and in marriage. I will sharpen your pain, pregnancy, and in pain you'll give birth, and you will desire to control your husband. He will rule over you. And to the man he said, since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. Now that passage we're familiar with. I want to tie these two scriptures we've just looked at to one more scripture next, and this is in Romans chapter 16. And in Romans 16, we're going to begin reading with verse 17. And now I make one more appeal, my dear brothers and sisters. Watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you've been taught. Stay away from them. Such people are not serving Christ our Lord. They're serving their own personal interest. By smooth talk, glowing words, they deceive innocent people. But everyone knows that you are obedient to the Lord. This makes me very happy. I want you to be wise in doing right and to stay innocent of any wrong. And then look at verse 20. The God of peace, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Now he's talking about the church. Now we just mentioned earlier when we started in Timothy where the focus is actually on the birth of the Messiah. But now in this passage in Romans 16, 17 through 20, God is saying to you, to me, to the church, that he will soon crush Satan under our feet. And so this gives us the direct, from the Word of God, the direct transition where Christ came as the Messiah to impart to us the same authority. Say, what authority? Well, you have to read back through the life of Christ, and you have to get to the crucifixion story and read in the crucifixion story how Jesus is on the cross and he is speaking about his mother. He's saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But then he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he comes to these words, it is finished. The work is completed. The work that the Messiah came to do. And we are to understand that the death and the resurrection, the conquering of death and the resurrection of Christ is for us to know that the enemy's defeated. And so when we look at the resurrection, we just came through resurrection season, we are to recognize that that resurrection is for us to know that the same power, that's the Word of God, the same power, say same power, that brought Jesus up from the dead is the same power that is operative in the church. And thus we see it in Romans so clear that the God of peace will soon. Now, Dylan, you're talking about having faith for something soon to happen. This scripture is telling us, I believe, that we look at divisions, we look at the church divided, we look at issues in our nation, we look at strongholds of the enemy, the context, that's why I put it all in there about things that are being taught that may not be right, and you could look at all those different conditions that it looks like the church just is a mess. But in the midst of all of this, God is saying soon things are about to change. There is a soon coming change. And the change that this scripture is talking about is when we can get a hold of this truth. When we can get a hold of this truth and we can believe it and receive it and act upon it, that God wants through your life, through your family line, through your physical body, through your relatives, through your home and your address in this community, God wants through us to crush the head of the devil through the anointing of God in His church. That's exactly what happens, Jody, as you seek the Lord. As you draw nigh unto God, the Word says, draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. You look at the Sermon on the Mount, it's all about God promising whatever state or condition you're in or the church is in, that God will respond to your request and He will show up and answer. And so those who do not receive are those who are not asking and believing. And so we are going to do more of that, asking and believing. And of course, not only do we have that soon, we know this is not only spiritual. It deals with eschatology. It deals with the end times. It deals with the season that Satan has. Remember when Judas was getting ready to go out and betray the Lord, Jesus said to him, that what you're going to do, go on and do it. You've already committed to it. That's what you're going to do. Go ahead and do it quickly. Let's get this done. Because there is a day, there is a season, and Jesus addressed that it was the dark hour for wickedness at that time. But the Word of God tells us that the day is coming when Satan's time is up. And Satan knows his time is almost up. And so he is seeking to discourage and to attack everyone that he can. But the Word is, soon he will be crushed. Soon he will be crushed. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 10 through 15, and the devil that deceived them, this is coming, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever. That is not our future. That is the devil's future. The devil who is to be crushed under our feet. So if the devil is to be crushed under the feet of the church, then it's time that the church no longer give place to the devil, so that the church have its part in the devil being bound, and his ability and power to discourage and disrupt, may it be broken over our families, over our households. That's what we're praying for. And so, and I saw the great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Soon, the God of peace. This is the God of peace that gives us a peace that passeth all understanding, said, soon will crush. God will crush. We don't crush Satan under our feet. God will crush Satan under our feet. We need to receive that. I don't know if anybody in this room this morning can get a hold of this. My mama, she believed that. She stood on that for the salvation of her children. even mom with Alzheimer's. You've heard me talk about this, but it was such an impactful thing for me to go to see my mom. She didn't know who I was. She said I looked familiar, so I'd show her my driver's license. And I would say, Mom, what does it say? Jonathan McLean. She still didn't know who I was. She said, it kind of sounds familiar. And then I'd say, Mom, I'm your son. She said, give me some sugar. Then she knew who I was. But my mom, when she was praying, she still was praying the same prayer. I would come in and I would catch my mom in prayer. And one day I'm standing outside her room. I believe more than an hour went by and mom was still praying. You know how mom could pray an hour with Alzheimer's? She prayed an hour long before she had Alzheimer's. Do you know how mom could be in the presence of God after she had Alzheimer's? She was in the presence of God before she had it. She was in the latter days of her life. In those 10 years of her life, they told me, your mom is like a missionary to this whole facility. She rolls around in her chair. She prays for people all the time. And no one can stop her because she had immediate access to wheel right up and pray for people. Listen, God wants the church to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, to get our eyes back on God, to get back into the Word of God, to learn what it means to fast and to pray through until we are given the promises. And part of mom's promise and part of her prayer went this way. Now, God, you didn't give me one child to populate hell. Mom prayed that way. God, you didn't give me one child to populate hell. I pray for the salvation of my children. I pray, and she would start naming them. All five of them, she'd name them in order from the oldest to the youngest. And even though she didn't know who I was, mom would still pray for every one of us in order. And she would lay us before the Lord and say, I gave birth to them so they would serve you. Father, they would be children of the Most High God. And not that they would just be believers, but that they would be full of your Spirit and they would accomplish things in the kingdom of God. And you moms, you pray that way. Dads, you pray that way. You believe this. You stand in the Word of God, on the Word of God, in this kind of a way. And as we've been looking at Pentecost and we've been talking about what took place, I was reminded again that the ladies were all there at Pentecost. Yeah, you ladies were there. And, you know, the ladies were there for prayer. The ladies were there for the fasting. The ladies were there in coming into agreement. It talks about that all of them came into agreement. That means all of the ladies as well as the men. That means it's possible in the presence of the Holy Spirit and in prayer for us to come into complete agreement. And that's exactly what happened. It tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, they all met together continually for prayer along with Mary, the mother of Jesus. And then it says several other women. And so this was not a men's only club. This was a picture of what the working of the Holy Spirit would look like in the days of the church that were being birthed. This is different than what took place in the temple and what took place on Temple Mount. This is a whole different picture where the men were on one side, the ladies were on another side, and there was a division between the two. And they did not communicate across the aisle. But we see that they're all praying together. They're all staying. They're communicating. They're gathering together. And from that gathering, we know there's 120 believers. We don't know how many were women, how many were men. If we looked at most churches today, we'd probably say two-thirds were women and one-third were men. I don't know. But that's the way a lot of times it is. But the ladies were there. And God just reminded me of that we need to stir up the faith in our matriarchs again to be Pentecostal women. What does that mean? That means that you seek God to be filled and full and baptized in His Spirit, that you might be full of faith, that you will be full of miracles, that you will be full of the anointing so that you can minister not just with the gifts as a mom in the natural, but with the supernatural power of God that He's given. Church, the church is all about husbands and wives, men and women, being fully empowered by the Spirit of God. And we see this on the day of Pentecost. It tells us that all of them received. Everyone present, verse 4, Acts chapter 2. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in a language they'd never spoken, in new tongues, as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. There was no distinction between the gift to the men or the gift to the women. It was the same Holy Spirit. As someone said, there's not a Baptist Holy Spirit and a Methodist Holy Spirit. There is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was the same to both men and women. And of course, then when we get into chapter 2, a scripture that I love, wherein they are saying, they're thinking that, these men have been drinking. They got up really early. Maybe they drank all night. Maybe these women have been drinking with them. Maybe this is some kind of a new religious organization where you drink all night and then you go out into the streets and you talk in different languages. You know, the people, they don't know what's going on. But Peter said, no, this is not what's taking place at all. Peter stepped forward with the 11, shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake, some of you are saying, these people are drunk. It isn't true. It's much too early for that. People don't get drunk by 9 o'clock in the morning. No, what you see this morning was predicted centuries ago by the prophet Joel. And now we have the whole family, the whole family. In the last days, you know this scripture, Acts chapter 2, 17. I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. May it be so soon. Soon. May the head of the serpent be crushed over our families, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren soon. And may the Spirit of the Lord that is being poured out. It's not as if we're trying to pray it to be poured out. No, the Holy Spirit's being poured out, but the serpent has their eyes blinded and their hearts are hard. So we need in faith to stand and let the Lord crush the head of the serpent over our families, over our generations. We need to declare the word, stand on the word, and call it forth. Your sons, your daughters, that includes mine, it includes yours, it includes your households, will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. This tells me there's no retirement from the fire of God. There's no retirement from the fire of the Holy Spirit. God does not have a plan for His church to where the young are going to be receiving from the Lord and everyone else has to just sit there. No, God is moving. Here's Dylan, almost 90 years old, getting up this morning, sharing the word, God speaking into his life. That is exactly the way revivals have always been. There's been freedom for people as God spoke into their life to share what God was saying, to get up and minister that. And ladies, you are allowed to share in the body of Christ. Men, you are welcome to share. Young men, older men, I encourage you to stand up and speak what the Holy Spirit is saying in your life, because God is not giving His message to one of us. He's giving His message to all of us. And if all of us will be obedient, God will be ministering to all of the needs. And this is the plan of God. This is the plan of God.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a part